The Halloween candy is gone and the fruitcakes are in the mail. Fall is falling into winter. First the leaves and the holidays, then a long wait for spring through colder winds and shorter days. Now, to the modern mind, that might just mean turning the heat a bit higher and turning on the lights a bit earlier, but it's easy for a modern mind to forget. There was a time on this planet before radiant floor heat and soft white bulbs. Elaine Fantham is our classics commentator. She joins us now from the studios of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation in Toronto. Elaine, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Hello, Scott. Yes, it's good to talk to you. All the better when I think of the damp and the rising dark outside.
Thank you. I'm interested in the apparel of the ancients. I mean, this was before there was no product that you might call Helen Tech. Fleecy pullovers or something.
Well, the difference, I think, is the way they dressed. Both Greeks and Romans had no sleeves, no breeches. Basic home clothing would be a tunic, mm-hmm. but when the Romans wanted to be dignified, they had to wear a toga.
Togas weren't closed at the bottom, were they?
No, and you would be drafty from below.
What about homes among the ancients? What would they do for heat there during winter?
They had portable braziers, and so if they really were cold in the house, they could huddle round it. Poor people probably simply kept themselves warm by the sheer number of bodies in a small space. Rich people who had really large villas would have a summer apartment that faced north and kept them cool, and then by about October they'd be moving across to the winter apartment, which faced south and got the sun, and would probably keep its temperature up to somewhere between 55 and 60 degrees most of the time.
You know, of course, the Romans were an imperial people, but also a more of a warm weather culture. What happened when the Romans moved north into Germanic areas where it can get very cold indeed?
Well, they didn't stay in Germany very long. The Germans weren't exactly welcoming. When they came to Britain, they just complained. They became, it's an old British technique, of course, and the Romans learnt the British technique of complaining. And I suppose they got their servants to bring them portable braziers to keep them warm.
What about holidays to lighten the mood?
Well, we're looking forward to Thanksgiving right now, and Romans didn't have Thanksgiving, though they did have a family feast. Oddly enough, they had it in February. What they would be expecting and looking forward to next would be the Saturnalia in the middle of December, which would be feasting and exchanging small, meaningless presents for more than a week.
Well, what about travel during the winter months?
Well, that becomes a bit more scary. It's dark earlier, so even going out to a party at night in the city, you'll take a slave with you, partly to fight off muggers and partly to hold a torch, since, of course, there was no street lighting. Then when you get to real journeys, well, take a short journey of 15 to 20 miles.
Yeah.
It would, in fact, take 6 or 7 hours to go 20 miles because you'd be doing it on foot or on a donkey, so you wouldn't start too late in the day.
Roman travelers did not have the advantage of holiday inns.
If they had to stay overnight and they didn't have a friend who would lend them a villa or another handy arrangement for the wealthy, a little hunting lodge along the main roads, then they would have to stay in an inn. But inns were pretty low. They were rather unsafe places. You didn't know who you'd be mixing with. Mm-hmm. You would be lucky if you got some kind of scratch meal. And in general, you could expect at an inn that you get a bed for yourself and a stable for your mule and some oats or whatever mules eat. And then you could go on and get yourself some entertainment. And in Pompeii, there is one graffito, and I'll be honest, I haven't seen it, mm-hmm. but it represents a hotel bill. And the guy has written it up on the wall of the inn. And it says, bed for the night, one, we'll say dollar. It wasn't a dollar, but yeah. That'll do. Bed for the night, a dollar. Stable and fodder for the donkey, a dollar. Girl, $10. That donkey will be my ruination.
Oh, gosh. You certainly make the classics come alive. Well, Elaine, very nice talking to you.
Good to talk to you, Scott, and happy traveling for Thanksgiving, and happy holiday.
Elaine Fantham is Professor Emerita of Classics at Princeton University and Weekend Edition's Classics commentator, speaking with us from Toronto.